Tonight I'd like to discuss, the title of this year is Jewish Reactions to Catastrophe Throughout History, a Halachic Analysis of Martyrdom and Halacha. And I'd like to start with a question. A question that was asked in 1941 in the Kovno ghetto by one of the members of the Judenrite, who was a prominent member of the Jewish community, who knew that the Black Day was coming, with the Aksion, when they were going to take everyone out and murder them. All the Jews, 10,000 Jews, were going to be killed. And he wanted to know, since he was a prominent official, he knew he was going to be killed. He wanted to know if it was permitted for him to commit suicide. If he was allowed to take his own life, so as to not witness his whole family being murdered before his eyes. And tonight we're going to talk about how Jews throughout the ages reacted to these circumstances of tragedy, where they were faced with circumstances of, should I commit suicide? Should I be killed to honor God? So that's what our topic is tonight, and we're going to work through from the Talmud, from the destruction really of the Second Temple, even earlier, through the Holocaust. And that's really how the Shir is going to progress. It's really based on a timeline. But we'd like to pay attention to how certain opinions evolved, how they changed throughout time, how they changed throughout the sources. So if you turn to page 1 in the source book, and you look at the first source, it's a Gemara. The Gemara in Psachim, the Gemara tells us a story. It's actually an interesting lesson that's derived by Todos Ish Romi. Todos Ish Romi was a Roman official who had prominent power and derived a very interesting lesson. He said, Ma ro Hananya Mishal va'azarya shemasru atzman al kiddush Hashem l'kiv shana esh. So there are three individuals, Hananya, Mishal, and Azariah, who are mentioned in Sefer Daniel. They were prominent Jews who gave their life. They jumped into a fiery furnace rather than bow down to a statue. And the Gemara has a question, how did they know they were allowed to give themselves over to be killed? How did they know they can be killed or commit suicide rather than bow down to an idol? So the Gemara learns it from a Kal Vachomer. It learns it from learning one source to teach you about another. So the Gemara actually learns it from a very interesting source. It says, Nasu Kal Vachomer ba'atzman mate svardeya. So this is in source 1. On the first page, they learned a Kal Vachomer from the svardeya. The svardeya, as we all know, are the frogs. The frogs of the second plague in Mitzrayim. That in Egypt, when the plagues came, the second plague was the frogs. And there's a famous song that my daughter sings now. Frogs here, frogs there, frogs were everywhere. And that's what the Gemara learns. The Gemara quotes the Pasuk in Shmos. It says, Uva'u v'alu b'veitecha. And the frogs went and they went into the houses. And the Pasuk goes on to say, U'betanu recha u'bema'asrotecha. Into the ovens and into the kneading bowls. So the Gemara learns a lesson from the extra words of b'ma'asrotecha. E'matai ma'asrot mitzuyin etzal tanur. When do we find kneading bowls next to the tanur, next to the oven? Havi'omer b'shasha tanur cham. This is at a time when the oven is hot. Anu mitzuyin. So that's what they learned, that the frogs not only jumped all over the place into the houses and, you know, all over people's beds and on their heads, but it was also into the fiery ovens of Mitzrayim. And anyone who knows anything about amphibians, their body temperature can't take many heat, let alone a hot oven. And they gave themselves over. These frogs killed themselves. So Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah learned a pasuk. They read this pasuk in Shmos, and they said, if these frogs, who don't have any commandments and aren't commanded in the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem, of honoring the name of God and giving honor to Hashem, we have to so much more so. And that's what they did. They then jumped into a fire. So the question that one should ask and really could ask is in Judaism we have a concept of v'chai b'hem, that we should live by the commandments and not die by the commandments. So the question becomes, Hananya, Mishael, and Azariah, for them to jump into the oven, it was either into the furnace. It was either permitted or it was forbidden. What does it mean that they can look to the frogs and learn a Kal Vachomer? And if you look in source 3, sorry to skip around, on the first page, source 3, it quote, this is the major source of Yarek Vel Yavor, that these are the three cardinal sins that a Jew must give his life for. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishim Rabbi Shimon ben Yotzadok. This is a statement of Rabbi Yochanan, Nimnu v'gamru ba'liyos beit nisnaze b'lud. This was taught in the attic in Lud. Kol aveirot shebetorah im omrim la'adam avor v'al teharik. all the mitzvot in the Torah, all the negative commandments in the Torah, if someone says to you, do this or I will kill you, one, excuse me, should do it and not be killed. Chutz me'avodah zarah, v'gilui arayot, v'shvichas tavim. Except for three of the cardinal sins, that is idol worship, illicit relations, and killing another. So if that's the question one has to ask, that the Gemara tells us, Yarig v'al yavor, that one should die and not give up his life, is only in three cases, avodah zarah, gilui arayot, v'shvichas tavim. And in those cases, one is obligated to give up their lives. So why did Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah have to learn a Kal Vachomer? Why did they have to learn from a lesson from the frogs that they should give up their lives? Why didn't they just say, if it's a prohibited, if it's something that's one of the cardinal sins, if it's a Avodah Zarah, I have to kill myself. Why do they have to look to the frogs? And additionally, there's also a concept in the Torah of V'chai Behem. That's what it says here, that in any Avir in the Torah, someone comes up to you on the street and puts a gun to you and says, eat this cheeseburger or I'll kill you. One is not only supposed to eat the cheeseburger, it's forbidden in a certain sense to give up your life. So why did Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah give up their lives? How'd they learn that from the frogs? So this question was dealt with in source 2 by the Baalei Tosfot. They had these same questions were bothering them. What were Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah doing? What were they thinking? They had to learn a lesson from the frogs. Either it was permitted or it was prohibited. So there are two opinions quoted in the Gemara. The first is that of Rabbeinu Tam, and the second is of the Ri. So first one we'll start with is Rabbeinu Tam. If you look in the third line, it says in the Rashi Tevot in the letters, Umefarish Rabbeinu Tam, Mem Pei Reish Tav. So Rabbeinu Tam has this question, he doesn't understand, was this thing that Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah were told to do or else they'd be killed, was that Avodah Zarah? Were they obligated to give up their lives or was it something else? So Rabbeinu Tam says, "Ditzelem zeh she'asa Nebuchadnezzar." This idol that Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babel, made, lav avodah zarah have. It was not idol worship. It's like the statue in it's Stalin's statue in Stalingrad, or a statue of George Washington. That it was just for their own, you know, own kavod, their own honor that they made this statue, And in that case, Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah learned a Kal Vachomer. They learned a lesson that they're allowed to give up their lives. They weren't obligated, but they were actually allowed to give up their lives. And this is a very fascinating opinion of Rabbeinu Tam, that for one of the non-cardinal sins, one is allowed to give up their life. This is the first time we see this lesson quoted in the Talmud, that one is allowed to give up their lives. One is allowed to give up their lives for something where the Talmud says you shouldn't. The Gemara that we saw said, Yavor ve'al yeharig, one should do the aveira and not kill themselves. Yet Rabbeinu Tam said that Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah learned a lesson from the frogs that they could kill themselves. But the Ri argues, and that's the last line in source 2, V'ri mefarish, ma ra'u, what is it that they saw? What was the Kal Vachomer? He says that for sure it was Avodah Zarah, for sure it was idol worship, but what was the lesson they learned? Shelo barchu shere kodem hamais hayucholim levroach. That they knew they could have ran away. They could have escaped. They knew this was coming and they could have ran away, but they stayed behind and then they were killed. So the Ri explains that was the lesson they learned from the frogs, that there's a kiyum, there's a fulfillment of Kiddush Hashem to give up your lives even though one could have escaped. But the Ri assumes it had to have been Avodah Zarah. It had to be one of the Yarek Val Yavor. So just to recap, the first three sources, there's a Gemara that says Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah committed suicide, supposedly based on a Kal Vachomer. And Rabbeinu Tam says that this Kal Vachomer they learned was from something they didn't have to give up their lives. And that was why they learned a Kal Vachomer. So I'd just like to show you how an extreme opinion this is of Rabbeinu Tam, to assume that one can give up their life for a non-cardinal sin. If you look in the Rambam in source 4, if you look here in, this is the halacha of Kiddush Hashem, Kol Beit Yisrael Metzuvim Al Kiddush Hashem HaGadol Hazeh, Shenemar V'Nikdashi B'Toch B'nei Yisrael. All of the people of Israel are obligated to fulfill this commandment of honoring God's name. As it says, and I honored God's name, B'Toch B'nei Yisrael, in the midst of B'nei Yisrael. And we should be careful not to defame God. One should not defame God's name. So Kate said, how does one fulfill Kiddush Hashem? And how does one fulfill Chil Hashem? I guess not fulfill. How does one How does one violate this negative commandment of Chilul Hashem? So Ketzad Kishiyamur Oved Kochavim V'Yanos Et Yisrael Lavor Achat Mikol Mitzvos Hamura Petora O Yehargenu Yavor. When a non-Jew comes to you and forces a Jew and he says, either violate this commandment or I will kill you. What should you do? So it says, Al Yeharig, one should not do it. One should do the Aveir Yavor V'Al Yeharig. One should violate the commandment and not do it. One should live by the mitzvahs. One should not die, rather live. And the Rambam goes on to say, that's how extreme the Rambam says, that if one were to actually go ahead and be killed when he wasn't supposed to, it's mitchayiv benafsho, he's over an aveira, he's doing the wrong thing. He's mitchayev b'nafsho. So this is the machlokes. Rabbeinu Tam again assumes that one is allowed to give up their life for a non-cardinal sin, and the Rambam argues vehemently and says that this is not only one not allowed, one is mitchayev b'nafsho. So now if we turn the page to page 2, I'd like to go through some of the Talmudic sources that are just drawing on this issue of when someone is allowed to give up their life, when is someone not allowed to give up their life for the honor of God. So this is a famous story in source 5. This is the story of one of the Hasara Haruge Malchus, one of the 10 people, martyrs who were killed, Hanania ben Trabin. It's a famous story, but we'll read it inside the whole thing. Ubuchazirasan, when the Romans returned, Matzula Rabbi Hanania ben Trabin shay yoshev osek b'Torah. They saw Rabbi Hanania ben Trabin was sitting and learning Torah. And this was something that was prohibited by the Romans. Umakil kihilos barabim v'sefer Torah munach b'cheko. He was sitting and he had a congregants gathered around him. He had students and he was teaching, and a sefer Torah was sitting in his lap. Heviu v'karchu b'sefer Torah. So the Romans grabbed him, they arrested him, and they wrapped him in the sefer Torah that was sitting in his lap. Hekifu b'chavli zmoros v'etzisu behen et ha'or. What they did then is they wrapped him in the Sefer Torah, they surrounded him with twigs, and they lit them on fire, about to burn him on a pyre. But not only that did the Romans do that, they wanted to make the torture worse. Heviu sifugin shel tzemer v'sharuam b'mayim v'heinichum alibo. So in order to exaggerate and make the torture worse, they took a piece of wool, they saturated it in water, and they put it next to his heart, so that his soul would not leave quickly. So his daughter said to him, Amar lo bito, Abba, erech b'kach, how can I see you like this? You are such a great Talmudic scholar. You are such a great rabbi, a saint. How can I see you? So Rabbi Hanania ben Trabin answers, Ilmoi ani nisrafti levadi haya davar kasherli. If I was being killed by myself, it would be difficult. Achshav shani nisraf v'sefer Torah imi. But now that I see that the Sefer Torah, my Sefer Torah, is being burnt with me, Misha Mivaki Shalbona Shal Sefer Torah, Hu Yivaki Shalboni. He says, when Hashem looks to redeem the Sefer Torah, He'll also redeem me. Then the story goes on, Amru Lo Talmidav, this whole time that he's being burnt alive, it's taking a long time. And his students say to him, Rebbe, Ma Taroa, what do you see at this time? So he says, Amar Lehen Gilyo Nisrafin, I see the cloth of the Sefer Torah, the parchment of the Sefer Torah is burning, but the letters are floating in the air. This is an analogy or a mashal to the fact that the Sefer Torah might be burnt, the parchment, the physical parchment, but the lessons of the Torah will keep on going. But this is the line that's important for us. So students say to him, Rebbe, I see you're being tortured so badly. Why don't you open your mouth? Allow the fire to go inside your body and kill you. Why don't you die quicker? You should die quicker. Take the easy way out. Why should you be tortured so unnecessarily? Amar Lahan, he answers them, Mutav shi'itlena misha nitna, va'al yichvohu ba'atzmo. It is better that one gives up his own life, is better that the one who gave me life takes my life, than someone kill themselves. And this is the important line that Rabbi Hanania ben Trabin says, even though I'm in terrible anguish and terrible pain, it's better if the one who killed me, who gave me life, kills me, than I kill myself. Basically, he's saying, I can't commit suicide and speed up my own death. So this is one of the sources that invokes this concept of it is forbidden to commit suicide or to speed up one's own death, even amongst terrible torture and pain. So if you look here in the next source, in source 6, the Balai Tosfos quote this Gemara and they have a problem. They want to know, is it really always prohibited to give up your life, to kill yourself? Like the Gemara says, Rav Hanani ben Tradion, it was prohibited for him to give up his life. So, Amar Rabbeinu Tam in source 6, Deheicha shiyurum penya avuram ovde kochavim laveira kagon aidei isurim shelo yachol lamor behem azu mitzvah lichbo v'atzmo. So Rabbeinu Tam has a tremendous novel idea where he says, when one is worried that one is going to be forced to do aveiro based because of non-Jews, because of the, I guess in his time it was the Christians, because of the Christians, and they were going to force you by torture to violate certain aveirot, it's a mitzvah to kill yourself. Not only is it permitted, it is a mitzvah. One gets a tremendous reward for killing oneself. So basically, we've seen two tremendous ideas about why Rabbeinu Tam, a person who lived through tremendous tragedy, he lived through the Crusades. Firstly, he said one can give up their lives for a non-cardinal sin. And now Rabbeinu Tam says, if one is worried they're going to be forced to violate Naveira, and because of tremendous torture that's going to be done to him, one is allowed to preempt that and kill himself. So that's what Rabbeinu Tam says, and supposedly Rabbeinu Tam was talking about baptism, that when the Christians come to your town and they try to force to baptize you, one is allowed to kill themselves. And the source Rabbeinu Tam draws this lesson from is source 7. The Gemara in Gittin tells a terrible story about what happened in the aftermath of the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash. In the destruction of the second temple, there was a lot of people were killed, but also the Romans took a lot of people back to Rome as slaves. So the Gemara tells the story, Masev Idalin Meot Yuladim V'Yuladot. There were 400 children, boys and girls, Shenishbu L'Kalon. They were taken as capture. Hergishu Ba'atzman L'Mahein Mevakshin. They realized to themselves what they were being taken for, and they assumed they were being taken for child prostitution. That they were going to be taken to be sodomized, the girls to be taken as prostitutes, and the males to be taken as male prostitutes. So the girls asked they all asked a question on the boat. They were taken on a boat from Israel to Rome. Amru, im anu tovim b'yam, anu bayin l'chay olam haba, if we jump into the ocean and we drown ourselves, will we be granted the world to come? Will we be granted olam haba? So they learned a pasuk, a kevan sheshamo yulados kach, kafsu kulon v'naflu tochayam. So when the boys and the girls heard this, they all jumped into the ocean, committing suicide, better than be forced to violate any aveirot. So what's interesting is that for a woman to be raped is not one of the cardinal sins. That is something that's very important to learn in this Gemara, that these girls gave up their lives even for a non-cardinal sin. So you see, that is also one of Rabbeinu Tam's proofs, that to give up your life for a non-cardinal sin is prohibited. It's not permitted, it's permitted. And that's what the Tosfos says in Source 8, V'hada Amar b'Mesechet Avodah Zarah. So that which we learned two sources earlier, that Rabbi Hanani ben Tradion said, I can't commit suicide, it's forbidden for me to commit suicide, that was a specific case. That was in a case when he knew he was going to die in 5 minutes. But the Tosfos goes on, Hacha, in this case in Gittin, when they were on the boat, Yiram Hayu Mesur, Hayu Miyusarim, they were feared that they were going to be tortured and be forced to be drawn to do Aveirot. So that's what Rabbeinu Tam assumes, that anytime someone fears or had a fear, they're going to be forced to do an Aveira, to violate a sin, and be based on torture, and they were going to give in to their temptation, they couldn't withstand the torture, they were allowed to kill themselves. So Rabbeinu Tam has gone from saying, in the first source we quoted, that one is allowed to be killed for a non-cardinal sin, to one is allowed to kill themselves for a non-cardinal sin. And this is quoted in his name in Source 9 by the Ritva. The Ritva was not a contemporary of Rabbeinu Tam, but he quotes him. The Ritva says, Hadi Aminah Bahagad Rabbi Hanina ben Tradion, that which we learned in the story of Chananya ben Tradyo, mutav yitlena misha nitno ve'al yichpo ba'atzmo. That which we learned, that it is better for someone to be killed by God than kill himself. So how does one explain our Gemara in Gittin that these 400 children jumped off the boat and killed themselves? So he quotes Rabbeinu Tam to say, this is in a case it's permitted for someone to commit suicide when one is worried he won't be able to withstand the torture. So the Ritva asks a question, but don't we know there's a prohibition of suicide? With the rabbis learned in the Medrash, they darshan, they pashtik, they learned from a pashtik that suicide is prohibited. So if that's the case, isn't this suicide? So the Gemara learns a miyut. It says that there are certain times suicide is permitted. And if you look at the last line and source line on the right column, yachol, so they want to know what are the cases where it's permitted. Where is it permitted to commit suicide? So one case is our case in Gittin, when someone is going to be forced to do an aveira, and the other case they quote from is yachol afilu kishol hamelech Yisrael. Maybe it's like the case of Shaul HaMelech, King Saul, who killed himself. Perish, so if you look in Source 10, where did King Saul kill himself? The Gemara tells it at the end of Shaul's life, he was fighting a battle, and he was losing the battle. And it says, Shaul, and the battle became very hard for Shaul, became very heavy. They surrounded him. And he became very fearful from these archers. They surrounded him, and he was trapped, and he was standing there. He knew he was going to die. And Pasuk Dalet, it goes on to say, Vayomer Shaul lenosei keilav. So Shaul said to his arms bearer, Shalaf karbacha vidarkeni ba. Take out your sword and kill me. Shaul HaMelech, the king of Israel, who's surrounded by this entire army of enemy forces, says, I am afraid I'm going to be killed, so please kill me. So that's what he said, and Shaul HaMelech then killed himself. He jumped on his sword. His arms bearer was afraid to do it. And Shaul jumped on his sword. So the Gemara wants this Risho and the Ritva wants to know, was this permitted? Did Shaul do the right thing when he committed suicide? So the Ritva says, Perish Shechavav Atma Bnei Haya Mityara Shema Yaviru Al Adad. He was afraid that they were going to take the king and set an example of him and make him violate his religion. So this is a case when it was permitted, because he was the king, he was afraid what they would do to him. That's a case where it's permitted to commit suicide. And if you look here in the next line, this is where it really goes to the next level. So far we've seen Rabbeinu Tam said, one is allowed to be killed for a non-cardinal sin. Then we just saw, one is allowed to kill themselves for a non-cardinal sin. And now it's taken to it's evolved to a new level. If in the third line in the left column of source 9, Mikan lomdin lishrot hana'arim begzerot mipnei ha'avarat hadat. From here we learn from Rabbeinu Tam that one is allowed to kill their own children so that they aren't taken away from Judaism. Assumption being, so they aren't baptized or taken away by the Christians. And this is what he said, Alkan matzati begilion tosos. And this is what I found in the Bali Tosos. So then the Ritva goes on to say, Vehem dvarim tzrichin talmud v'ian gadol. This is something that requires a lot of clarification. Clarification because what one person can view as murder, first we were talking about suicide. So committing suicide is not a cardinal sin. It's not like murder. It's maybe a negative prohibition. It's something that's viewed very poorly. You're not allowed to be buried in a Jewish cemetery, but it's not murder. So what we have is now the Ritva is quoting people in the name of Rabbeinu Tam as if to say Rabbeinu Tam advocated murder. One is allowed to kill their children better than they be taken away to a different religion. So if you turn to page 3, this is what quoted from the Beit Yosef, who quotes this discussion as a halachic discussion. And, you know, tragically, this was really the lot of the Jewish people, that this was really an occurrence that happened more than once. Are you allowed to commit suicide or kill others in a Shat Hashmad, in a time of persecution? So this is quoted by the Or Chaim, this machlokes, and he quotes it. He says there are those who say it's mutter, who say we're allowed to kill yourself in order to save yourself from being forced to do an aveira. And then he says there are those who prohibit it. And if you look in the last line in the right column, the yesh osrim, there are those who prohibit it. Mefarshim hach talmud lomer ach she'enu yachol laharig atzmo. One can't kill themselves. So what about Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah, where the Gemara said they jumped into the Kivshan Eish? They didn't actually jump into the Kivshan Eish. Matzu atzman biyad achayim. They gave themselves over to the officials, to the Babylonian officials, who then threw them into the furnace. What about Shaul, who killed himself? Vishal ben Kish shelo beratzon chachamim asa. Shaul ben Kish did not do the right thing. He violated a commandment by killing himself. And here it's an interesting historical point that's quoted by the Or Chaim. It's the bolded letters on the left side. Umase berav echad shishacha tinokot harbe b'shatz hashmav. There was one person, one rabbi, who at a time of a persecution, I assume when the Christians were coming, began to kill children, a lot of children, tinokot harbe. Sheyira sheavurim aldas, because they were worried that what was going to happen is they were going to be taken away from Judaism and forced to be converted to Christianity. V'haya imo rav acher, and there was another rabbi there. V'kois alav, and he got very angry at this rabbi who was killing all these children. He says, v'karu rotzeach, one rabbi was killing all these children, thought he was doing the greatest kiddush Hashem. He thought he was doing the greatest honor of God to not let these children be taken to Christianity. But this rabbi got up and said, you're a murderer. You're not doing a kiddush Hashem. Rather, you're killing people. V'amar Rav Amoneya, and the rabbi who didn't kill, he said, im kidvarai, if it's like what I said, not to kill these children, yihari goto rav v'mita mishuna, you will be killed with a terrible, strange death. V'kein haya, and this is actually what happened, she'tofsu goyim, the Gnan Jews came, by Uposhin Oro, they took this rabbi's skin, they flayed his skin, v'notnin chol bein or v'basar, they separated his skin from his flesh, from his body, and they stuck sand into his body. This is how they killed him. So I guess this is a mita mishuna, a very terrible, strange death. V'akakat nibadla gzeira, and right after this happened, the gzeira, the persecution stopped. Vim lo shachat otam, and if this rabbi wouldn't have killed these many children, efshar shahayu nitzolin velo hayu horgin otam. And the Beit Yosef, Or Chaim, ends by saying, and if this rabbi wouldn't have killed these children, they would have been saved. So this is just the background information of this machlokas between Rabbeinu Tam and the people who argued with him. Is one allowed to commit suicide when faced with persecution? And just to put a little more historical context, if you look at source 13, this is a question, an actual question, that was asked to the Maram Rutenberg. Yehudi echad shal et Maram sheyichya. Someone asked the Maram Rutenberg, in sarach kapara al sheshachat ishto v'dalet banav. Someone wants to know, do they need kapara? Do they have to ask forgiveness from God for killing his wife and four children? Biyo harag harav. V'yom harag ha'rav b'kuflas ir adamim. There was a town, Kuflinas, that many people were killed. And while all these people were being killed, this one father got up and said, I don't want my children to be killed by the Christians. I'm going to kill them myself. And he got up to kill his wife, and he killed her, and his four sons. And when he was about to kill himself, the non-Jews rushed in, and they stopped him from killing himself. And he was saved by the non-Jews. And they said, we're not going to kill you. So he wanted to know, does he have to ask forgiveness from God? So whatever the answer is, we won't go into the answer, but you see that this is what people were reacting. This is the reaction of Jewish people in the time of the Crusades, in the time of persecution, that they would give themselves over, they would be killed and kill themselves better than submit themselves to torture and to leaving the Jewish faith. So if you look here to bring it to a contemporary level on page 4, source 14, this is the initial question we started with. This is the Shelos HaTshuvos Mimamakim of Rav Ashri. Rav Ashri was a rabbi in the Kovno ghetto, and he was a close disciple of the Kovno Rav, And many questions were asked to the Kavan Rav were also asked to Rav Ashri. So this is a question that was asked. On the 6th of Mar Cheshvan, October 27, 1941, 2 days before the horrifying black day of the Kovno Ghetto, this was the Great Action, when some 10,000 men, women, and children were taken away to be butchered. Every one of the ghetto dwellers saw his or her bitter ends coming. At that time of confusion, one of the respected members of the community came to me with tears on his cheeks and posed the question of life and death. He felt that he could not bear to see his wife, children, and grandchildren put to death before his eyes. For the German sadists had a system of extermination. In order for the murderers to enjoy the suffering of their victims, as a matter of course, they would kill the children before their eyes, the eyes of their parents, and the women before the eyes of their husbands. Only after satisfying their bloodlust in this sadistic fashion would they put an end to the suffering of these men. Because he felt certain that it would be too painful to witness the horrible suffering of his loved ones. He asked whether he could terminate his own life earlier to avoid witnessing the deaths of his loved one. This way, besides being spared a horrible death of great suffering at the hands of the accused murderers, he would also gain burial among Jews in a Jewish cemetery in the ghetto. So this is the question that someone asked. He wants to know, can I commit suicide so as to not have emotional anguish, to not have emotional torment of seeing my whole family killed. He's basically asking, I'm going to be killed anyway, can I then go and commit suicide? So this is the answer in Hebrew, which is actually different than the English answer. So you'll maybe see why in a minute. That's why I didn't quote the English one. But if you look at the English version, it's different than this answer. And maybe why is what we'll read now. Ulam efshar lomar, Sher Chananya ben Tradion. The first story we quoted of Chananya ben Tradion, the great scholar was being burnt and said, I can't commit suicide. I can't even speed up my own death. So he said, Hichmer atzmo biyoter al pimidas chasidus. That, you know, stringency not to give up your life 10 minutes earlier than it's going to be killed, that was the midas chasidus, that was a pious act. Aval be'emes b'chiyagavna lo mikri ma'avid atzmo das. To kill oneself in place of terrible torture or suffering, both emotional and physical, this is not called suicide. V'shol amelech yochiach, and King Shol is a proof, shenafol al chenuko lekarav eitz mitaso b'terem shaplishtim higishu. And Shol amelech is a proof, because he killed himself better than be captured by the Philistines. V'lechem nitachin shebenidon didan mutter lo la'avid es atzmo, v'ein monim imeno shum davar. So in these circumstances, one is allowed to kill himself, and the Jewish community should not hold back anything from him, meaning he should be allowed to be buried in a Jewish cemetery. But this is what Rav Ashri goes on to tell us, and this is what I think is a very powerful message. And this is probably why this isn't in the English version. U'b'chol zot nirali shelefarsim v'ravim kipsach halacha, that however it appears to me that to publicize this psak din, this halacha, that one is allowed to kill themselves, shebenidon didan mutter lo la'adam la'abin atzmo das, to commit suicide, bevadei aser. This is definitely prohibited. It is prohibited for anyone to go around telling that Rav Ashri said you can commit suicide. Why? Ki bezeh haynu notin yad leposhim hatzrorim yimach shimon. Because by doing this, we give a hand to the terrible murderers, the Nazis. Ki kama pa'amim ta'anu klapei Yehudim al she'enam ma'abdin atzmo ledat. Kmo she'asu Yehudei Berlin. Because many times the Nazis come to these Polish communities, Ukrainian communities, and they ask, why aren't the Jews committing suicide? Why are they going to death? They won't kill themselves, but we have to kill them. We have to go and kill them, and they won't give up their lives like the Jews in Berlin did. U'davar zeh yesh bo mishum chil Hashem. So Rav Ashri says that although al pi halacha it's okay, and maybe in other circumstances it was a kiddush Hashem in the Holocaust, in our situation, for one to kil themselves, it is a chil Hashem. Because the Nazis look at us having us forcing them to kill them as the biggest kiddush Hashem. ומפני שזה היה מרק אילו אין ליהודים ביטחון בחסתי השם שיצאו להם ידיהם הטמאוס ברורם של הצורם ימח שמם. And Rav Ashi goes on to say, because by us giving up our lives, it shows the Germans we have no faith that there's a possibility, there's a hope to be saved. And that's why we should hold off for the last possible minute and force the Nazis to kill us. And this is, he says, this isn't Yeish, it's not giving up. This is the Kiddush Hashem in its highest regard. And I just thought it's interesting how really you see how throughout different times in Jewish history, what is classified as a Kiddush Hashem, a sanctification of God's name, changes. How during the Crusades and during other horrible tragedies, it was a Kiddush Hashem for one to kill themselves or one to kill their children. But during the Holocaust, Rav Ashi assumes that the biggest Kiddush Hashem is to stay alive. And if you look here, this is a new book that came out last year on page 5. I just thought it was a nice corollary. This is a really incredible book. It was first printed in Hebrew, called B'Seiser Re'eim. Then it was republished in English by Mossad Rav Kook. It's a really tremendous work by a woman named Esther Farbstein. She's the granddaughter of the Ger Rebbe, and she's actually the wife of the Rebbe of the Chevron Rosh Yeshiva. So she's married to a Litvak, and she's a Chassid, so she's interesting in her own right. But she wrote a tremendous work, and she teaches the Holocaust studies in Mechlala. So this is one page from passage from her work, where she tells a story that in a certain town in Galicia, I don't know if I'm pronouncing correctly, Drobyshev, the mass transports began in the spring of 1942 on the pretext that the thousands of Jews were being taken for work on the Eastern Front. There, too, information reached the local rabbi, Rabbi Yaakov Avigdor, who seemingly survived the war. He was hiding at the time in a bunker, the entrance to which in one of the small Bati Midrash in the town. His family and a few other townspeople knew where he was and would consult with him. One day, a young Jewish man by the name of Mundek Baidan came to this base Midrash. Baidan, who had worked as a groom for the Germans, asked the rabbi's son Yitzchak to give his father some important information that he had obtained. "I came to tell you so that you would give the information to your father, the rabbi, and he would decide to act as he sees fit." He had heard from two SS men that the Jews of Drobyshev and the environs had been taken to a place called Belzec. The name was so foreign to him that at first he thought they were talking about Belz, where they were being, in this town Belzec, where they were being murdered with gas. The rabbi's son was shot, and he asked Baidan to tell the rabbi himself. At first, the rabbi too was stunned, but he immediately recovered and tried to inform all the Jews in the town of all the facts so they could try to save themselves. He urged them to flee, to hide, to do whatever they could to survive. The greatest Kiddush Hashem will be if someone manages to remain alive. And this is how this rabbi understood the situation in the Holocaust. That while we saw Rabbi Nutam advocated a position that one should commit suicide or maybe even kill their children in the times of the Crusades or other Catholic persecutions and Christian persecutions, during the Holocaust, the situation had changed. It changed that one should stay alive because the Germans were there to kill not only the religion, the Jewish religion, but to wipe out the entire Jewish people. So therefore, the greatest Kiddush Hashem became to stay alive. During the 3 weeks, especially the 90s are starting soon, it's a very good time to reflect on all the tragedies that have befallen the Jewish people throughout the ages. And it really is a history of many tragedies. And we hope that on Tisha B'Av, this time of reflection, God has mercy on all His people, all the people of Israel, remembers all the martyrs, and brings Mashiach speedily in our time. Thank you very much. Have an easy fast.